Welcome to the Teachers on Fire podcast, where I profile agents of growth and transformation in education today. Each guest shares their highs, their lows, their passions, their goals, and the resources that are shaping their thinking and inspiring their practice. For show notes and links from each episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And of course, please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey. Let's meet today's guest. Today, I'm speaking with Kate Lindquist. Kate is the founder of Peace Love Art, which is all about enriching hearts through self-expression and soul connection. With a master's degree in education, Kate is a passionate educator, artist, consultant, speaker, and contributor to Disrupted Ed TV. Follow Kate on Twitter at heartistatwork. Kate, it is a pleasure to have you on the show today. Are you ready to talk education?
I absolutely am.
That is awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into this, Kate. I've been following you for a little while, and you are just a steady flow of positivity and creativity. So let's get into this. We'll start by filling in a little bit more about your current context in education. Tell us a few more details that maybe I left out.
Okay. Well, I am in West Palm in Florida, and I grew up here. I was a child of the public schooling, and for probably the past 10 years have been a teacher in the public schools, and have just recently been sort of pushing myself to venture into areas where arts education is sometimes overlooked. Particularly with those in need, children with autism, individuals that might be in foster care, as well as I'm hoping to at one point get into helping like incarcerated youth who are, you know, just trying to get back to the world and doing a lot of after school arts enrichment as well. And Palm Beach County it's pretty diverse. We have everything from our students who have free and reduced lunch to those that are living on Palm Beach, you know, with nannies and like a limo service. So you get a very big range of children and meeting those different needs. One thing I see is no matter what, they all just need love. I guess lastly is I primarily work with the pre-K through eighth grade. Haven't really ventured up to the upper grades because they're a bit taller than me and they kind of scare me.
I love that. Well, love and relationships and creativity apply at any age level, right, Kate? And you've definitely got a great cross-section there of students to work with. Kate, we're going to start with a low moment from your teaching or education career. So tell us about an experience of adversity and how you worked through that.
You know, as you say adversity, I think of a quote where like adversity is sometimes our greatest teacher. And for me, a low moment was probably a couple years back. And it's slowly been happening where my position as an art teacher began to be stretched to also being the PLC coverage for other teachers and the reading interventionist. I ended up watching computer lab, and one day I was the substitute for a class, and my 8 hours of teaching art turned into 3 hours of teaching art. And not that I don't mind, like as long as I'm teaching, I'm happy. But when I'm not doing the one thing that is also my passion, like it just comes, I always say it flows through my hands. I don't know where it comes from. It made me like feel lesser, undervalued, not as important, not seen for who I was. And that with that, it started to be seen that like the data was more important than I was, or maybe not I, but my role. So I spoke with my family and a couple of friends who kind of know that I'm like the artsy, but I'm also this like major nerd who loves all science, math, you name it, and started formulating this idea of peace, love, art, and what I like my dream would be. So kind of took that difficult moment, and it sort of pushed me out of my comfort zone of saying, well, I'm just going to always be the art teacher, to hold on a second. I got more to offer than just the art teacher. And got on Twitter and realized I have to do this. I have to be a voice for the arts, not just fine arts, but the art of teaching, the art of living, like whatever, like however you want to see art, because it's more than just what we do in the four walls of the art room or the music room. So slowly, Peace Love Art is coming together, and I'm excited to share my voice through it.
Kate, thank you for sharing that. Now, I want to launch right into Peace Love Art and dig a little deeper into your organization. Tell us about the heart and mission of Peace Love Art. What are your goals, and how do you hope to serve educators through it?
The aim of it is to enrich hearts through self-expression, and hearts with my capital A-R-T-S in it. And so its mission is to allow people of all ages to find their voice and let it be heard in a creative manner. I try my best, even in the art room, to mix arts with emotions and academics and show that it's like an all-encompassing place to continue to grow. So I've created a few after-school classes, a few workshops, hoping to get down the road into some speaking engagements and a book here or there. And I guess I want people to embrace the arts and all that they have to offer. To me, they're the key to opening up that curiosity for learning. And by doing so, we can allow for more self-expression. And learning from anything from core concepts in school to dealing with like social-emotional regulation to finding one's voice. If you're homeless and you are down on your luck, if I can pop up a little tent and we all just make art for an afternoon. So I think my biggest goal is to reach those that are lost and don't really have a way.
Well, I love the connections that you're building between SEL and the arts, and I know we're going to talk more about that. Kate, when you look around education today, what else excites you, maybe beyond your particular corner of education?
Okay, so I was so excited when I knew you were going to ask me this question, because what excites me so much is seeing how many educators are just on the verge of wanting to make change. Like, I feel like there's this grassroots movement of lots of us that are so excited to say, hey, you guys, meaning policymakers, you're doing it wrong. You're telling us to do it wrong. We know what's right. And I feel like we're on the cusp of seeing like a monumental breakthrough in education. And I don't know, it just gets me so excited. And when I hear it, I think, oh my gosh, I got this idea and I've got this idea and look who's doing that. And I'm just hoping at some point we all can come together to really like flip the tables on everything, or to pull the rug out for everyone and say like, hey, we got this, like let the teachers run the show and we'll show you what we can do. So I don't know. I was excited when I read, what am I excited about?
That is very exciting. And when we're in our PLN, when we're on Twitter, on Facebook and these other places, it is very, very inspiring and transformative to hear what other educators are doing and where other educators are having success. And you're right, there is kind of a spirit of revolution around that environment, isn't there? Kate, I didn't want to steal your thunder, but I have to ask you about something. Now, you're the first art specialist that I've had on Teachers on Fire. And so let me just cut right to this. Do you feel like in some quarters, it's an uphill battle to convince educators that the arts are still important, that even in, you know, the age of STEM and standardized tests and state scores and so forth, the arts are a vital part of education? Do you feel like that's sometimes an uphill battle still?
I think it definitely is. And I think there's a lot of the art teachers or arts in general, electives, what have, because I want to include PE in that as well, because that is an art form in itself.
Sure.
That are recognizing that we see the whole school, especially when we're elementary teachers. We know every kid's name. We know who's having a good day, who's having a bad day before they even a teacher tells us. And I think the biggest thing would be more so than seeing what we do is knowing that we have insight and we can help you out. like almost like we're an extra set of guidance counselors there for you. Please come. Like my thing is always to my colleagues is come to me. If you're stuck on like how to incorporate art into your lesson, that's what I'm here for. I'll give you ideas. My thing is always ideas are free. I'll spread them around like crazy. But if you don't inform me, I won't know. So I do think it is a bit of a battle because there's not a lot of testing that we can do in the arts. It's very subjective. And so we can't get the fine data and we can't get companies to give us money for it because we can't prove it. So it's a little bit of a tangled web that we're trying to weave out. My personal want is that we don't call it the arts anymore, is that we just call it the creative academics, to move away from it being something that only people who are good at it can do, and saying, no, everyone's good at it. This is just another thing you're learning. So it's a climb. I think it's an extra climb. It's kind of like we're climbing with all the teachers, but we've got like 100-pound weighted backpacks on our backs.
Kate, have you seen Austin's Butterfly?
Austin's Butterfly. I have not, no.
Okay, well, I will connect you with that video later, but you just that last one of your last comments there, you mentioned how, you know, in terms of the creative academics, we've all got that creativity inside of us. And, you know, one of the statements I love to confront from a growth mindset is, I'm not an artist. And you'll hear that sometimes from students or even from teachers. And
yes, all the time.
Right? You know, I think we forget sometimes that, no, there's no one who's sort of at 0% skill. Right? We're all on sort of a continuum of skill, and we can all improve our craft wherever we are on that journey of improvement. So yeah, Austin's Butterfly, it comes from Ron Berger. And like I said, I'll connect you with it later and maybe include the video in the show notes here because it is incredibly powerful. Basically, what it shows is one young man who's maybe in grade 3 and he's attempting to draw a butterfly, and he goes through 6 different iterations of his drawing, and he takes feedback from his peers each time, and he gets better and better and better. And by the 6th iteration, his drawing is phenomenal. It's compelling, it's accurate, and so it just illustrates the incredible curve that we can all find ourselves on if we'll just put in that time to practice and improve our skills. So.
Completely. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. And that pops in mind, a quick mini tangent, is when people do say, oh, I can't draw. I'm like, I'm going to show you can. And I'll write especially with my older 5th graders and teachers too. I'm like, I hate when you guys say that. Please don't. You do. You draw every day. And so I write my name on the board and I'll say, what did I just do? And they're like, Miss Linquist, you wrote your name on the board. I said, no, I just drew. We just drew a straight line. I drew a diagonal. I drew a circle. I drew a triangle. Like, and all of a sudden, the idea of like, oh my gosh, we draw every day becomes, well, I can draw in the art room then. So I'm like, we just give it a fancy name of writing, but you actually every day are creating a masterpiece on your math paper. Your poems you're writing in English class, you're actually drawing them out. So that's my little tangent that they always get whenever they say I can't draw.
I love it. Well, the art room is a good place to reinforce the power of yet. I can't draw yet. And that's something I try to build into the culture of all my classes for sure. It's so, so powerful and it applies everywhere. We need to move on, Kate. Tell us about an area that you are looking to grow in professionally. How are you seeking to improve your practice this year? Can you share about a specific professional goal or an area that you're working on?
The first thing that pops in mind is staying active on Twitter and participating in chats. For me, this has been some of the best professional development out there. The arts education doesn't always get what we need unless we go to a conference. So a lot of the times when we have work days, it's geared towards the classroom, the main classroom teachers. And I'm kind of sitting there. I typically doodle and I listen, but making sure I stay very proactive on Twitter and engaging in chats. I've got a few books lined up that I am hoping to tackle. But I think the biggest goal for me this year is going to be branching out to more diverse populations with Peace Love Art. I can look out my window. There's a nursing home right across the street from me, or assisted living. I'm not sure what they call it these days. And I thought just popping in there and saying, hey, I'm here. Let's do an art project for an hour. So really taking Peace Love Art and bringing it to people and helping to heal hearts through self-expression. So that's my biggest goal.
Very cool. Now, Kate, you mentioned doodling in passing there. Are you a sketchnoter?
You know, I'm not. I am a paper and pencil girl. Like, I guess I do it the old fashioned. I'm an old fashioned sketchnoter, if you want to put it that way. I will take my notes, and as I'm taking them, I put little doodles all over. But I love a good pencil in my hand. That's something that has been hard for me, honestly, to venture into the tech world simply because I lose that handheld pencil. And I think that might just be an arts kind of thing, growing up always doing art. I'm getting there, but right now I'm an old fashioned, I just call me like the old fashioned sketch noter.
Hey, no pressure, Kate. No pressure at all. And, you know, pictures of your pencil drawn doodles will do just fine, right? And those are equally as shareable on Twitter and throughout the PLN as well. Kate, looking outside of education, what's another area of learning for you? And what I'm interested in hearing here is something that ignites your passions and brings you alive as a human being when you leave the classroom.
Well, I love learning. Like, end of story. That's I am like the most curious creature there is, I feel like. So if there's something I don't know about, that's the next thing I'm going to go learn about. Right now, I'm really into some science stuff. I've been watching One Strange Rock on TV, and it has me going like mental in my head about the intricacies of Earth. Like, it's our global home. But there's so much that this show is that I didn't know about that I'm like, oh my goodness. So then after I watch it, I go Google about something that they talked about and have like just literally blown my mind within 15 minutes. So I, like, long story short, I love everything. I love learning. It might be catching a phrase or getting really into meditation. It's, I think as an artist, it's kind of whatever tickles you inside. And you're like, ooh, I don't know about that. I got to do it. Or that's a great idea. I want to paint that. So same goes for my interests. They kind of bop all over. Right now, science is a big one.
Okay. Well, I'll have to take a look at One Strange Rock later and find out what that is all about. Kate, share about a personal habit or maybe some kind of a productivity hack that contributes to your success and lets you get it all done on a daily basis.
Well, like I said before, I'm just like a pencil paper person. So I keep lists, or I make lists, to-do lists, and kind of check them off. And I also have an idea list that I keep a little notebook in my, a teeny weeny one in my pocket, like at all times, because I have this weird thing where ideas just like pop in my brain out of nowhere. And I'll want to go try to figure out how to turn that into a lesson or create a new art project. And I realize, wait, you're in the middle of teaching a class. You can't do that. So I just pull that out and I write the idea down or the phrase. And before I know it, it's time to go home and I can then go back and sit down and think about it more. So those are my two main go-tos, are a note, just a to-do list. But I have a little idea book. And that was taught to me when I was in grad school from one of my professors, who was one of my art teachers. And he said, always keep a little idea book with you because you never know when inspiration's going to strike.
Well, that's a practice taught by Dave Burgess over at Teach Like a Pirate. He recommends the same thing, just keeping that notebook handy at all times, because like you just said, you never know when that creativity strikes and you don't want to lose it, right? You want to hold on to those breakthroughs and those ideas. So I like that. And I can tell you're a tactile learner, Kate, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like that style. Kate, it's time for your quick picks, the education voices and resources that are shaping your practice and inspiring your thinking today. So starting at Twitter, tell us about someone we should follow there and share why they've been inspiring you lately.
I am going to give this one to my first ever Twitter friend, I guess you would call that, Tracy Scott Kelly. He has been a guide, a mentor, an ear to listen to, an inspiration, biggest supporter from day one. especially when it came to refinding and using my voice. He's always up to share ideas, help me see things in a new way, something I might have been overlooking. And he's like, well, look at it from this angle. And he's dedicated to make change. So if you aren't following him, I highly recommend following him at Tracy Scott Kelly on Twitter. And just a phenomenal individual.
Okay, that's Tracy Scott Kelly. Kate, point us to an ed tech tool that you currently love using in your classroom space or somewhere in your professional practice.
Okay. In the art room, like I said, I'm not big on tech because I like the hands-on pens, pencils, paint stuff. But I was able to get 5 tablets through Donors Choose, which I am ever so grateful for whoever the donors were, because they were anonymous art donors. So I don't know who they are. But we have been... I've been finding some user-friendly ones, apps that the kids and myself are loving. So I'll share those if people are interested. One of them is Canva, which allows you to make everything from postcards, business cards. You can create a logo. A lot of stuff is divided up into for Facebook, for Instagram. So the kids are creating their own unique designs on there. PixArt is a fun one. GIF Maker, the kids love making GIFs, as do I. And so you can actually make your own, and it's a lot of fun. And the last one that's really cool is Pixaloop. And so you can take a static image and make parts of it move. So if it's just a tree, you can make it look like the tree's kind of wiggly and whoopy, and you can add snow, even though it's Florida here, so we're not going to have snow, but you can add it. So I would highly recommend, if you're into apps and you want to just explore some fun stuff on the side, those would be my go-to.
Well, I do look forward to checking those out. I know Canva, and Canva is phenomenal. If you're not on Canva, you need to check that one out. But I'm new to the other 3 that you mentioned, Kate, and so I will definitely take a look at those. And again, I'll have all of these links in the show notes at teachersonfire.net. If you're listening to this episode, drop on by and take a closer look at what Kate is recommending here. Moving on to your next quick pick, Kate, talk to us about a book, one that you've been reading lately, or maybe one of your all-time faves, and tell us why you recommend it.
One of my all-time faves that I keep rereading is Einstein's Dreams. It's fictional. However, it's based on Einstein's theory of time. And so each chapter presents a what-if scenario. I love it. So one chapter might be, what if our days are 12 hours long? And the fact that some of us would never see daylight, some would never see nighttime, some might not see a sunrise, some might not see a sunset. So each chapter kind of questions time, and what if it went at a different rate based on where you were, or just, it's mind-boggling. And I keep rereading it and I'm like, Kate, you already read this, but it really makes you think, like, wow. And I think it also helps, it really makes you appreciate the day that we do have.
Okay, very fun. Kate, are you a podcast listener? We're all commuters, or most of us are commuters, and we're always looking to add new and interesting podcasts to our lineup. So tell us about one that you are listening to and explain why you love it.
Besides this one, I do also like the one by Shane, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of the podcast. I also really enjoy The Hidden Brain, and it's by NPR, and it's about how our brain operates and the way it drives our behavior and our choices and our connections with others. So to me, that's a really interesting one. That's a little bit outside of education, but still kind of helps you to sort of see how students and even just people in general function based on what's going on inside that head of ours.
I've heard a couple of good recommendations for The Hidden Brain lately, and the research coming out of neuroscience and all of the things we're learning about the brain, even in the last decade, have been eye-opening and exciting. So I'm going to be adding The Hidden Brain if I don't have that one in my lineup already. And I think the first podcast that you mentioned maybe is the Ed Podcast. Is that the one you were thinking of?
Yes, there you go. Thank you. That's it.
You know, I'm stuck on this guy's name as well, because that's all it says on Twitter is just Shane. It doesn't have a last name. So we need to find out what his last name is. Do you remember what it is?
I don't. I don't think I even ever asked him. I just know him on a first name basis. But he's a very fantastic guy.
Okay, so check out the Ed podcast as well. Those are two great picks. And then the last two questions, Kate, are about video. Tell us about a YouTube channel that you enjoy. Now, this might be something that you've utilized in your practice or maybe one that you just find personally amusing.
A personal one is Will Smith has a phenomenal YouTube video or YouTube channel that is inspirational. It's down to earth and it is hilarious at times, but at the same time filled with such insight. And it's all that makes Will Smith who he is. So I, on my own at night, will sometimes just Chromecast it to my TV and watch episode after episode. They're about 5 to 10 minutes in length, but great. I highly recommend it. And then in the classroom, I enjoy Art Hub for Kids. It's a gentleman and then a different child each episode. And it's a guided drawing. They're usually about 10 minutes long, give or take. And the kids, it's just a nice little brain break. Sometimes we don't have a full art class and I can do it up on the board, but I think it's fun for the kids to see another child drawing. So I would recommend that as well. So Will Smith's YouTube channel and then Art Hub for Kids.
Okay, those are great picks. And I think you're right. Kids love the modeling and that's a powerful teacher. And YouTube is really opening up some exciting opportunities in that respect. I know I've got two boys at home. And if they want to draw something, that's where they go, YouTube. Mm-hmm. They can pause the videos, rewind, follow along, and it just makes it that much more accessible, right? You know, I wanted to mention too, Kate, about Will Smith. If you're not following him on Instagram, you need to follow him there as well. He is so
So, little side note, he has the same birthday as me. Since I was a youngster, he's like been my idol. And so I feel like even though he doesn't know it, we have this deep connection just because we share the same birthday. So I do. His Instagram is hilarious, too. But it does have a few of his clips from his YouTube on there.
Okay. Well, you know, I didn't know about the YouTube angle, so I'm definitely going to subscribe. I love Will Smith. Who doesn't, right? He's great. Last question, Kate. Strictly non-educational, what are you watching on Netflix right now? Now, you gave us a mention for One Strange Rock. Is there anything else on Netflix in particular that you've been focused on lately?
I don't go to Netflix for too much. Every once in a while, just a movie. So I will give you another show I've seen that I'm loving. It's called Genius. And it's portraying different greats from history. So far I've watched one on Picasso and one on Einstein. Funny. There we go. Back to Einstein. But I think the next one in line is Frida Kahlo. And they're like 10-part, like it's a 10-part miniseries. I do not know what station it's on, but it's a great show as well.
Kate, this has been so much fun and so inspiring for the listeners. What are the best ways for all of us to follow you online and get more of that great art content?
Twitter is probably the easiest for most people, at Hardest at Work. I have a website. It's not actually active yet. It will be, though, called peaceloveart.org. You can find me on Instagram at peaceloveart3. That's my personal one, or Hardest at Work. That has all my student stuff on it. Facebook as well, Kate.Lindquist and Peace Love Art 3. And that's probably the most accessible, or the areas I check most often.
Okay, sounds good, Kate. Again, thank you so much for sharing your time with the podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you, Kate, and you are so committed to SEL, accessibility, and expression. I think your voice is an important one in my PLN. So take care, and let's talk again soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining me here today on the Teachers on Fire podcast. For show notes and links from this episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. And again, please do subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey, saying goodbye for now, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast.